asking where the other chat is for these, where people hear. Alexis, most of the people that listen on sdf.org. They create an account there. It's free. And then when you SSH in to the server there, you run a program called COM, C-O-M. It's short for COM mode. And it's kind of like an IRC-esque chat program that's closed to the system. In there, there's a room for Anon Radio, and that's where most of the chatting happens. Now, there is an Anon Radio chat room, as Adam D. pointed out, that's on irc.sdf.org, but generally, most of the chatter happens in COM. Sometimes we get a good crowd in Tilde Radio, but tonight it looks like Dokuja and Alexis are pretty much alone over there. All right, yes, continue. Everybody says continue. All right, we're going to continue. What could possibly go wrong? I think I heard Morse Code Media chiming in there as well. Let me just double check. I want to make sure he's going to get us killed. What is he saying? New business, film and flam. I like it. All right, we are continuing Without the Light on page 96. Okay, you're right, concedes Duranda. Let's continue, but we'd better hurry. They enter the tunnel that was previously guarded by Lieblong the Dragon. Ooh. Oh, wow, I found an old paper, what do you call that? Bookmark. A little bookmark in this book. Interesting. They enter the tunnel that was previously guarded by Lieblong the Dragon. It's straight and level, and they travel quickly. The lantern grows even dimmer. Finally, after about 5 minutes, the lamp goes out completely, leaving Bivitar and Jorinda surrounded by darkness. They hear a gurgling noise close by, accompanied by what could be the sound of gnashing teeth. At that moment, Jorinda notices a spot of light in the distance ahead of them. She grabs Bivitar and points it out. Come on, she cries, let's make a run for it. From behind them comes a cry of anger as the lurking creature senses its prey escaping. There are sounds of pursuit. Bivitar and Jorinda run even faster toward the growing circle of light. Jorinda stumbles over something in the darkness and drops her pack, but regains her balance. With a final burst of speed, they fly out of the dark tunnel and into a lighted area. From behind them comes a cry of pain and fear, and they turn just in time to see a creature with enormous fangs turn and dash back into the darkness. Whew! Exclaims Bivitar, his chest heaving. Another close call. I dropped all the food while running, says Duranda. I'm sorry. I dropped the lamp, although I guess it's not much good anymore anyway. But at least you managed to hang onto the talisman. Duranda glances down at the magic amulet, which is dark. They turn to survey their new locale and are greeted by an amazing sight. An enormous cavern, easily a mile across, filled with rock formations of every imaginable shape. The ceiling far above is covered with layer upon layer of phosphorescent mosses, glowing with every color of the rainbow. The floor of the cavern is covered with literally hundreds of stone statues, lifelike figures of knights, explorers, adventurers, and elves. The closest of these statues is only a few feet away. These statues are amazing, Biv. They're so lifelike. Bivitar examines one of the statues more closely. Jorin, these aren't statues. His voice fills with fear. They're people. People turned to stone. Suddenly, a voice calls out to them. It's a hoarse croak, inhuman and horrible to hear. Go away. Leave Grum alone. Please come in, not here. Sorry you will be, yes. The owner of the voice is hidden from view among the statues. There is another exit to their left. Do we heed the words of Grum and leave the unseen creature and go away? Or do we ignore the warning and enter the cavern? Ooh, what's it gonna be? What's it gonna be? All right. Let's see. No, bat guano. Oh, yeah, bat guano would have been good. Little rose petals and bat guano. We would have been on our way. Robe lamp, summon genie, Tobe says. That would have been a good one. Ignore the warning. Death is fun in Choose Your Own Adventure, says Adam D. Lexi says, cavern. I mean, we'll get owned doing that, but I sort of want to see. All right, let's go on in. Ignore the warning. Go to page 104. We better listen to him, Jurin. I'm not so sure, says Duranda. These statues, all these people, they must be explorers who had entered the Cavern of Doom but never returned. They're all right here. Then let's get out of here before we turn to stone also. Biv, the amulet isn't glowing, so there's no evil here. Bivitar thinks for a moment, then nods. Okay, let's go meet our unseen companion. They take a few more steps into the cavern, toward the hidden creature. They are now surrounded on all sides by the stone figures. Suddenly, the voice cries out again.
Please come not any closer. You too, turned to stone will be.
They pause and catch a glimpse of a figure darting behind a group of statues, as though hiding. Bivitar calls out,
Who are you? Called Grum, I am. Live here, I do.
Grum, how did all these people turn to stone? Duranda asks.
The work of a terrible warlock it is. His name I cannot even remember. A powerful enchantment he cast on Grum. He makes Grum hideous and horrible and ugly. Now anyone who looks at Grum turned to stone, are they?
Why did the warlock do this to you? Inquires Bivitar.
Do not I even know. For a long time Grum here in this room has lived. No friends have I. No one can I ever talk to.
Oh, Biv, he must be so lonely, Duranda calls to Grum. Why do you stay here? Is it part of the spell?
No, not part of spell. I stay so no one can see Grum's ugly.